following Jesus and what that actually looks like, right? And so we had a really great discussion about that last week. And sorry y'all missed that, but you missed it. You missed it. Yeah. But as you can see, we're recording. And so all you have to do is go on the heavensinvasion.com website and you can catch up with all the good stuff that you missed out on, right? So we get really some great testimonies, some great stories about what it looks like for some of us to be following Jesus. And at the end of that, I kind of threw out some questions for you to think about. And the first question is, what would you like things to look like? Where do you want to go with this walk with the Lord? And what would need to happen for you to actually begin to see that, right? And so I didn't know if anybody gave that some thought and would like to maybe just share a little bit about your meditations on that. Okay, moving on.
I think one area for me, or one thing for me, is to give over every area to him. Sometimes we aren't even aware of areas where we have decided to take care of things ourselves in our own might and strength and all. And so for me, that's been a step that I'm taking on purpose, right, to include him in every area.
Okay.
And that's been transformative.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Can you give us an example?
My finances, I mentioned in another setting that I have tithed since forever.
Right.
But it was a thing of kind of like religious duty more so than a heart thing.
Okay.
And so because I was tithing and giving an offering, I felt that the rest of the money was mine to do with as I pleased. And I can blow through some money. And like for me, it's not designer this, that, and the other. It's books. I'm insane.
Really?
For some books. Yes.
Wow.
Like every library, they know me and all that. So
what are they called? A bibliophile?
Oh yeah, that's me. And like I just at some point this last year I was like, you know what, Lord, I want you in this area too. I'm tired of wasting so much money.
Okay.
On just, you know, various things, not but books, because that's just silly talk, you know. But
heal my addiction.
But yeah, I invited him in that area. And in a few other areas too. And it, like I said, it's been really transformative. Sometimes I find that it's just a thing of simply saying, you can come into this area too. And some of the anxieties that have gone along with some of those areas,
yeah,
just dissipate.
Wow.
Just like that. And I'm like, all this time.
I know.
Insane.
I waited for that. That's crazy. Wow. Well, that's an awesome testimony. So it's like you feel like the Lord would say to you, no, don't buy that book.
Oh, I hope he doesn't, but so, sorry, I spit my thing out.
No, I'm just trying to understand.
But yeah, no, oh my gosh. Yeah, if he did, then hey. Well, no, there was something that I want,
yeah,
and it's a John Paul Jackson something, like the online thing.
Yeah, he's
and
no
I'm
good. We
like,
all know he's no good.
Exactly.
So, joking.
And I'm like, I want it so bad. And I told my husband today, I was like, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. Like, so yeah. Yeah. I am like putting the brakes on.
Wow. All right.
And even with coming here today, we have had guests from Zimbabwe, Miami, and D.C. come. And a lot of like people in and out, so it's not a thing of being able to really leave the house and all. And so today I had set in my mind, okay, Lord, because I'm a stickler for what I want to do, and like especially if it's like God related, oh, I'm out, you know, I don't care what you're thinking or you know whatever. So I was gonna come, but I feel like God honored my heart. I set the kids down. I said, okay, listen, we're not going to church today because we have all these different family members come in and all, so we're gonna, you know, just sit tight. Mm. And they're all, oh, and I said, yeah, but guess what? God honors relationships and blah, blah, blah. So we had that talk, and come to find out, I'm here. God, I feel like God honored my ability to just be like, you know what, I'm gonna let go, and
yeah,
I'm able to be here, and I'm not missing anything.
And we're happy about that.
Yes, me too.
Cool. Anybody else?
Well, I mean, on a practical note, I probably have every book that she would need. So there's lending libraries. You have a lending library. I have a lending library.
That's true.
You messed up there.
Yeah. And this one, too?
Oh, like mother, like daughter. Yes. Good. All right. Well, I think, you know, for all of us, we definitely want to see some kind of progression in our walk with the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Does anybody just basically feel like you've arrived?
No.
Just checking.
Almost there.
It's like Andrew Womack says, I haven't arrived, but I've left.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. So, and so that's all of our stories, right? We're in transition, in process, and whatnot. So I've been really, this whole arena of following Jesus has been a major emphasis for me this year. And, you know, I've been dialoguing with the Lord about it and looking at scriptures and whatnot. And he's really, I'm telling you, I love the fact that the Lord will always stretch us beyond what we thought we knew. Mm-hmm. I mean, his word obviously never changes, but he loves to mess with what I understand about his word. He'll always try to change me in how I approach his word, what I think about it and whatnot. So as I've been pondering and looking at scriptures, you know, concerning this whole thing of following Jesus, you know what I realized? I realized this week that my perception of following Jesus looked like what the disciples experienced in that time when Jesus walked on the earth. That was what I was focused on, or what I saw when I, you know, heard the phrase follow Jesus, or thought about the phrase follow Jesus, right? Because when they walked with him, they were literally following wherever he went, right? And so that idea, I don't know if it's the same for you, but that's kind of where my brain had been concerning this idea of following Jesus. And I realized this week that that's wrong. It's not wrong, but it's incomplete. There's something lacking in that concept of following Jesus. Anybody want to hazard a guess why? Good. That means I got something to teach you. So, you know, here's the deal. What's the real goal for us today in following Jesus?
To love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind.
Exactly. To love him.
And to love each other as he has loved you.
Amen. You'll never get an argument from me out of the greatest commandments, because that's true. Okay? Here's the thing. Matthew 24, rather 10:24 and 25.
Hold on.
Yes. Please turn in your Bible apps to Matthew chapter. Because it looks like tonight nobody has a paper. Do you have a paper Bible?
Oh, I got one.
You get the prize. You get the prize. All right. We still have a few diehards carrying real Bibles with them. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So Matthew 10:24-25. Jesus is speaking about discipleship here. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, and the slave like his master. And then he goes on to talk about how they, you know, persecuted him, so they're going to persecute you guys, us as disciples, right? He says, it is enough that we become like him. Okay? Now, what does that mean? You know, we all have goals. We all have this picture of what we want our life to become, you know, what we really think it should be, what we desire. And Jesus says here, if whatever you picture doesn't include looking like me, then it's not enough. Yeah. As big as the vision you have for your life, if it doesn't include looking like him, it's not enough. Wow. All right? Because the idea here in this word enough, it's interesting. It means to be sufficient, satisfactory, a satisfactory accomplishment. You know, Jesus talks about how we get to stand before the Father. He says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant, right? Well, you did well. You did well. That's what Jesus is talking about, you know. And the idea here is that we're capable of becoming like Him, right? It's enough that you become like your Lord, your Savior, you know. We're qualified to make that happen. And that's such good news, right? So if we're on this process of becoming like Jesus as His disciples, okay, and He is not physically with us, we've got to change how we approach this whole thing. Because we're not now, okay, Jesus, where are you? I want to follow you. No, right? Where is He now? He resides in us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, if Jesus is saying to us, you better have the goal, the same goal that I have, which is to become like Me, then it probably is a good idea if we know more about what He's like. Right? So one of my favorite passages that talk about Jesus and describe Him is in Hebrews chapter 1. Okay? And we'll look at Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. Those of you that were just in my prophetic training, you know we just talked about this. Right? So it says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He, Jesus, is the radiance of His glory, the Father's glory, and the exact representation of His nature, the Father's nature. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I want to focus on these two concepts of the radiance and the exact representation. All right? What we believe, what we teach, is that Jesus came to demonstrate in Himself what the Father is really like. Okay? That was one of the primary purposes for Him coming to the earth. Yes, He came to also die, shed His blood, and be resurrected for our salvation. No question about it. But a huge component of His mission was to show the world what God is really, really like. All right? One of the reasons for that is because under the old covenant, people had gotten the wrong idea about God. Because under the old covenant, you see a God who basically just wants to punish sin, who wants to, you know, release all kinds of plagues and wars and all this kind of nasty stuff going on. Why? Because under the old covenant, the purpose of the old covenant was to magnify sin, was to make sin sinful. Right? Paul said, apart from the law, I didn't know what it was to sin. But when the law came in, all of a sudden, whoa! Right? People were doing their own thing, you know, back in the day. Did no clue whether things were right or wrong. So God said, all right, look, this is not good. Here's 10 things right here, number one. And then from there, it expanded to like, what, 600-something, right? There's like 600-something laws in the Old Covenant. And all of that was done purposely by God because He wanted people to see you can't be righteous in your own strength. You can't do it. Okay? It was never meant for you to try to follow all that stuff and make yourself right before God. It was never meant for that. Mm-hmm. It was simply meant for you to realize, man, am I messed up. Mm-hmm. And man, do I need a Savior. Lord, what do I do? How do I fix me? Because right now, I see how messed up I am under the law. Mm-hmm. God says, well, here's some sacrifices. That blood is going to cover over your sin for this year so I don't see it. So all that went on for years and years and years until the Lamb of God came, right? And Jesus died. His blood was so perfect and so effective that it didn't just cover, it washed away sin, right? Behold the Lamb of God who does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Okay? Do you know? Have you figured it out? That every person's sin right now, past, present, future, has been forgiven. The Lamb of God took away the sin of the world. Mm-hmm. So God's not dealing with sin anymore. He already dealt with it in Christ. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care that I sin. Yes, He does. Of course He cares that you sin. Why? Because sin is stupid. It's stupid. When you sin, you basically open yourself up to whatever the devil wants, because the devil agrees with sin.
Right.
Now, God's not going to deal with you on the basis of sin, because He's already forgiven you of your sin, but He's going to say to you, hey, how's that working out for you to be doing that stupid stuff? How's it working out for you to giving the devil an open door to come in and mess with you? Okay? He's trying to get us to a place where we walk in wisdom. Because wisdom, you have God's wisdom, you're not going to sin.
No.
God will never lead you into sin. Okay? All right. I didn't mean to get off onto that, but I felt like I needed to just set a table here for us. So Jesus, right? He comes. The Bible says He is the radiance of the glory of the Father. It means that He is a visible expression of light shining from Himself. That's what radiance is all about. In other words, Jesus, because He's God, and He came on the earth as a human being, He was able, out of that relationship with Father, to shine and show off the true nature of the Father, the radiance, the glory. Okay, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but I want you to see the relationship here that Jesus released glory out from Himself that people could see when they looked at Him. And I'm not talking about, you know, this halo thing and this, you know, this aura. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how He lived His life was a visible expression of all that God is. Because this idea of glory, right? Glory expresses all that God is. The word glory, when you think about the word glory, what it's saying, it's saying this is all that God is, right? In what He does, who He is, right? The way He acts. It's all wrapped up in the word glory, right? And so Jesus expressed that. He released it. He revealed that to human beings. This is what the Father's like. What did He say to the disciples? If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father, right? I mean, that whole interchange in John 14 to me is comical, right? He's talking about all this stuff, and Philip goes, oh, just show us the Father, it'll be enough for us. And Jesus goes, what? How long have I been with you, Philip? Come on. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I only do what He say, what I see Him doing. I only say what I hear Him saying. He's representing the Father, right? So what does this mean? He's the exact representation. Oh, I love this. The exact representation of the nature of the Father. You know what that means? The word literally was originally used for an instrument that was used to carve or engrave. Okay? That was the original meaning of the word there for exact representation. Think about some kind of a chisel or some kind of a knife that you would use to cut and carve something out. That's what the word originally meant, right? And it came to mean the instrument or the actual thing that was created by that instrument. Any of you crafters here that you use these little stamps that you put in the ink and you know, ever seen those things?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what we're talking about. Or if you're ever into metalwork, sometimes you have a die that you use to stamp on a piece of metal to make it, you know, conform to something, right? That's what this is all about. In other words, Jesus in Himself, He was the exact model or representation of the Father's nature. And because it says He was the instrument for carving that out, it means that He is replicating Himself in us. Okay? This is not just simply some kind of theory.
Well, it's a nice idea, you know, that I get to be like Jesus.
No, this is a reality. This is what's actually happening, right? Romans 8, 28 and 29, what does Paul say? That we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? For those whom He foreknew, He knew us before we were even a twinkle in somebody's eye. Okay? Those who before knew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. Do you realize that right now, we are glorified? Do you feel glorified? Probably not. I rarely feel glorified. But the Bible says that we, past tense, glorified. He has glorified. What's the glory that qualifies us to say, I'm glorified? Okay? It's the fact that we are conformed to his image. Right? Having the same form as another. That's what the word conformed means. Having the same form. It describes what is the essence and character, and it is thus complete or durable. It's not just simply, you know, an outline or some kind of a stick figure drawing. We're talking about an exact conforming to his nature. Right? Now, I'm going fast because I want to get to this, you know, without taking too much more time. Colossians 1, 25 through 27 talks about Paul's ministry and how he was a steward of a mystery, right? And in 1:27, it talks about the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we have taken the word hope and we have completely eviscerated it, which means we've removed it of all of its power. The word hope in our minds simply means a nice idea that I'm wishing for. Okay? Oh, I hope someday that I get to go wherever, you know, to Tahiti or something like that. It's this wishful desire that we have. In the Bible, the word hope means a confident expectation. So when we see the word hope, it's not just this, oh, maybe someday. No, it's confidence. It's understanding that what is being described here will happen. It will happen. Okay? So Christ in you, the hope of glory, you translate that to say it's Christ in me that is the confident expectation on my part of glory manifesting through my life. Okay? Now, again, remember, we're talking here about following Jesus, becoming like Jesus. The Bible is so clear that that's what God wants for us, right? Mm-hmm. So, let me skip back down here, hope of glory. Here's the thing that I want you to really start to think about. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:17. This is one of the most important scriptures that you could ever begin to understand. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now, the Greek word here for one, heis, has as one of its meanings that you are one and the same. Now think about this. We're talking about your spirit man that is now indwelt by Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ is in you. And the Bible is saying to us here that in my spirit and in your spirit, there is no difference between me and Jesus. Is that crazy or what? But this is what the Bible is teaching us. That we have become indissolubly one with Jesus. You can't separate out my spirit from his anymore. Because we are now one and the same. So in my spirit man, and in your spirit man, you are just like Jesus. Except you're not God. Okay? Let me make that very clear before the charges of heresy begin flying. No, I'm not saying that you are God. But as to your nature, as to the essence of your nature, you and Jesus are one. So whatever is true of his nature is true of our nature. Okay? Listen, this is revolutionary. Because nobody talks about this in the church. And, you know, you go to most churches and what do? They try to tell you how bad a sinner you are. They try to make you feel, you know, like a 2-inch heel shrinking fast because you didn't do this, this, and this. And your God is saying to you, wait a minute, no. I have so thoroughly redeemed you. I have so thoroughly forgiven you. I have so thoroughly changed you on the inside that you are now carrying in you the nature of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds
that's
like
good
a
good news.
That's some good yeah, that's news good right news. There. Yeah, come on. Exactly. You know, I mean, how many of you just can remember times years and years ago, I know for me, that I would, you know, tell people about the gospel, but it wasn't good news. Because all I was doing was telling them, you know, you're going to go to hell because you're a sinner. How is that good news? It's bad news. And for people to get saved on the basis of that, basically, you know, turn or burn. They're getting saved because they're afraid that God's... Yeah, exactly. How can you have a relationship with somebody that you're afraid of like that? That you're in terror of? That's not what the Lord was ever after. Is hell real? Yes. Are people going? Yes. But not because he sends them. Right? They make a choice. Yeah. All right, let me see if I can... Because I want to get to the real interesting part here. We're one and the same, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says, now we're the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. What is the freedom that we have? How about we read the next verse? Verse 18. That we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. This is the process that we're involved in right now in becoming more like Jesus. And Paul likens this thing to looking in a mirror. Now, I gotta be honest with you. I would read this and I would think about this again. What's the mirror? I don't get that. Why do I want to see myself? I don't want to see me. I want to see you. Right? And so I would sit there and go, okay, well maybe, you know, mirrors back then, they made them out of polished brass. And so you really couldn't see, you know, things super clear. You could see enough to know that you got a booger on your nose or something, but you really, you know, it wasn't all that clear. So maybe he's using that as an allegory to help me understand that, yes, the image I'm seeing of Christ, it's not clear, but it's there. No, that's not what he saw. He's talking about a reflection. He's saying there's this reflection that you're looking at. And what is the reflection? The reflection is seeing Jesus that's already in me. Seeing Jesus who's already in me, his nature that's already in me, I'm looking and I'm seeing. And how do I do that? Oh, before I get there, remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples, right? They had a chance to see Jesus as he really was. It says he began to shine. His clothing began to shine, right? And they're looking at him. They got a glimpse of who Jesus really is. The Bible says that Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed. It's the same word in 2 Corinthians 3. That we're being transfigured, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So how do I do that? How do I cooperate with Jesus, you know, in following him? Because now it's not just simply, okay, Lord, where are you? I got to find you so I can follow you. No, how do I participate in this process of transformation? Okay? How do I do that? Well, James gives us a clue, right? Because he uses the mirror analogy as well. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, and we'll wrap it up at this point. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. By the way, people this verse 22, people that it's describing here are simply folks that are religious. They want to hear the word of God without actually doing anything about what God shows them to do. For them, it's enough that I learned something. It's enough that I heard that, and my mind and my, you know, I was like, ooh, that's good. That's some good teaching. And then you walk out, right? Because what does he say? If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and for once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Right? So you look at your face, and you see there's some dirt on it, and then you walk away and you forget, oh, I didn't clean the dirt off my face. Okay? So he's saying that if we look intently, verse 25, at the perfect law, the law of liberty, where do we just see liberty? 2 Corinthians 3. And the liberty is that we're being transformed from glory to glory into the image of Christ. If we look at that, and that's a law. Do you realize that that's a law? That God has instituted a law every bit as consistent as the law of gravity. You know? We just, if I drop something, it's falling. It's a law, right? Well, God has instituted this perfect law, this law of liberty, which is freedom to partner with him and cooperate with him in this transformation process. I keep losing my thing here. My phone goes off. Looks at the perfect law and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Okay? So we get to look into the mirror, which is what? Who can tell me what the mirror is?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, but where do we see him most clearly?
Huh?
Well, we just talked about don't be hearers only, but be doers of what?
The word.
The word.
Mm-hmm.
So we see Jesus, who is the word, in the word. And basically, here's what's happening. We are learning about who we really are. Like you look at, for example, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, right? Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those things, right? You know what that is? Those are characteristics of the nature of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, that's my nature. That's your nature.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are we doing? Well, we're participating in this ongoing experience, right? Where I get in a situation and I know how I would have reacted were I not saved, okay? I know how I would react. I know what I'd be saying. I know what I would be doing. But, that's not who I am anymore.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so as I identify, right, with the nature of Jesus in me, all of a sudden, I find myself empowered to be able to do something that I could not otherwise do in my own strength. Okay? Because there's nothing that's separating me from Jesus. That's why Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Can you give me an example?
An example? Oh, sure. I'm a guy, if you haven't noticed, and there's times, you know, when I'm driving, and some jerk cuts me off, and my flesh wants to just rise up and give him the one finger salute. I'm just being honest, okay?
That's the old nature.
I see, you think? It's the dead nature, you know what I'm saying? But that's one of, you know, that's a very real example. Where it's like, Lord, I just bless him. Jesus' name, just pour out your presence, Lord. Let him feel the presence of God right now. Because he's being foolish, and I don't want him to get killed.
Okay? You mean you don't want to kill him?
my flesh would have said, yeah, but no, it's the ability to make that transition and say, okay, all right. Back up the bus, okay? I am seated in heaven, right, in heavenly places with Christ. I have access to everything. He's in me. I have his nature now. I can do better. And it's not even that I have to try to realize. It's not even that you have to try. It's simply a matter of agreeing with what he's done and who he is. See, our ability to agree with the truth is what makes us free in every situation.
That's a good word right there.
It is.
Yeah. Because it's the fight that goes on in our minds over situations where we sit there and we argue, we fight, we get upset, we allow the emotions to get stirred up and put us in a place where we're just basically disagreeing with who we really are.
Yeah.
Right? So one last scripture and then we're gonna worship, because I just can't wait to worship tonight. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now that alone is good enough right there, but look what else it says. And manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Can I suggest to you that this is an awesome description of what's possible as we follow Jesus? In other words, as we agree, Lord, I just want you to be so manifested through me that wherever I go, it brings the atmosphere of heaven. It brings some manifestation of you, of your glory, of your presence, so that people just, what the heck just happened? You know what I mean? It's like, whoa. I just felt the room shift. You know, they don't know what's going on, except that you came in with an understanding and an agreement to release Jesus, all that he is, in that room, in that place. Isn't that awesome? So we're gonna continue in our pursuit of this, because, you know, here's what just happened tonight. Tonight, y'all got the theory, okay? I just gave you the theory. Now we got to let the rubber hit the road and begin to put this into our daily walk and say, okay, Lord, I'm coming into this situation, one with you. I am equal in terms of your nature. We're one. We're one and the same in this situation. So whatever you could do, I can do. And he said that, right? The works that I do, you will do, and greater works. Well, now we're starting to understand how that's possible because of what he's done to redeem us and to make us one with him, right? Isn't this amazing stuff?
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I want to hear, you know, from you guys next week what you've discovered, what you've learned, what you've experienced as you walk this out, right? And, I God just wants to teach us some things about how we can help each other in this process, because I don't have any illusions. I know it's rough in some places where you guys go. I know it's no joke in some of these places, right? So we need to learn how to help each other, how to walk with each other, support one another. And that's part of this whole thing, because we're the body, we're the family, right? So I'm excited about that. We're learning who we really are Now we got to learn how do we make that work together. Right? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you tonight, Lord.
Thank you
for just the awesome revelation that you've given us. How you favored us, oh God, to be brought into this kind of relationship with you, where Jesus, you now dwell in our spirit. We are one with you, one and the same. Lord, we are capable by your spirit of whatever you were able to do. Lord, we can do likewise. So we give you glory tonight. We ask you, Lord, to help us when we hit the bricks tomorrow, Lord God, that we're going to make a difference wherever we go. Lord, you're going to lead us in triumph. You're going to cause the fragrance, the aroma of Jesus, of heaven, to be released through us wherever we go, Lord, so that people will not just hear about you, but they'll know by experience that you're real. So we give you this glory tonight, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise tonight. You're awesome. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody said, woo! Amen. That's true.